Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, a wonderful approach family. This is Mama Seven, and we are doing a wonderful approach radio today. I am very excited, still in the middle of fast zone because the sun has decided it's going to stay where it is in the sky. So all my family members out there struggling, trying to get that last minute of sun to go down. Yeah, yeah. Come sit down, join us. At least here you're among good family, people that understand, people that have already been struggling, trying to get the shrines up, the candles going, this, that, and the other. At least you know you're in good company, okay? That's a lot right there. It is another wonderful Wednesday, and it's wonderful because I've made it to this point. And every Wednesday has its challenge. You know, are you going to be able to deal with this? Are you going to be able to deal with that? And so, and the point, you know, Wednesday is one of the harder days, the middle of the week. You're starting to get a little tired. You know, you want to get to the weekend, all this good stuff. But, you know, for those that are fasting, holding it down in your white, you know, really trying to live that spiritual lifestyle, it's so important that we do so, that we support each other as we're doing it, that we feel the support. In order to get supported, what I have had to learn over the past couple of years, you may have to wave your hand a little bit and let people know, hey, I need some help, you know, especially right now. Right now, things are just hard. They're chaotic. They are uncertain. That's the word that is the buzzword going around right now. It is uncertain times, and it really is. You know, nature is acting out. you know, the economy is acting out. There's all kinds of issues and challenges, and if we stay focused on the issues and challenges, that's what we got. That's what we'll be. But take a minute and look at the positive. If we take a minute and look for some inspiration, I promise you it's there. I promise you that. And this is what we have to get in the habit of. You know, we're always, you know, there's plenty of negativity, plenty, you know. The news is coming constantly. My Facebook thing rattles so quickly. I'm like, well, wait a minute. Kittens aren't cute anymore. I don't have my cute little kitten videos anymore. You know, where are my ducks walking in a row? You know, and so they got this negative machine turned up high. And so, but just like we know for sure, it's a choice. So what I want us to do is to focus on those things we know for sure, okay? Like you know your name. I know this for sure. And that's why this whole program came about. I was questioning some things. I was like, okay, well, what if this and what if that? And what if took me down this rabbit hole. I said, okay, stop, pause. What do you know for sure? And I was like, okay, so I'm rattling off to myself with Spirit's assistance. What I know for sure. What I know for sure is that sun comes up every day, okay? No matter how mad I am, no matter how hard that night was, no matter how many hours I stayed up, no matter how many hours I didn't get no sleep or whatever, the sun is still going to rise. Time is still going to continue. The newness and renewal of that day is occurring. And so that's what we're going to be doing today, what I know for sure. And not only do I want you to share what you do know for sure, I want you to share what that means to you, because like me, knowing that that sun is going to rise means whatever little pity party you need to have, put that thing on a clock, okay? You don't have time to stay in this pity party because when the sun comes up, we got work. And so that has gotten me through many a struggle, a trial, a triumph, you know. Just knowing that, you know, like old folks say, the old Christians will say, trouble don't last always, and it don't. Every morning it seems to kind of start over, And then at that point, I can make a new choice. When that day starts over, I have the ability to make a new choice. I can have new challenges or I can have new opportunities. But the newness of that day for me is what I know for sure. And so I just would like to hear more of what we know. Last week, oh, my God, we had such an awesome show. We were all the way up to the buzzer. We needed 5-10 more minutes in the show. I was kind of, We went through the spiritual ABCs. My dear sister Unique went through them. And like we discovered, we've done that before. Me and Mama Khadijah did it maybe 2 years ago. And what we discovered was we don't think alike. This, you know, my D was for discipline and hers was for devotion. And, you know, another one was for daily and another one for determination, you know. So as we went through, I was surprised, again, not only that me and Sister Unique are different, but that my ABCs had changed. In 2 years, my growth, my development, my exposure, my study, all of that was coming forward. And where before I thought my ABCs might have been a little harsh and, you know, get into it and grind harder, these ABCs were a lot lighter, in my opinion. They were more optimistic and more cheery and sunny. And I really think not that that's a reflection of where we are in the universe. I think that's a reflection of myself. You know, I think that that change was my true self coming forward. And so, I love sharing that with everybody. If you want to listen to the show, you can go to A Wonderful Approach Facebook page, and all the old shows are there. But that was a really unique one. And from there, we've had a lot of different other things come up. You know, life has been still churning on us. And so, but it was wonderful to stop and do that and share some laughs with my dear sister and share some, you know, some information with listeners, especially when, you know, you're new to your spiritual soup. You know, what letters, what ABCs are you putting in there? But today we're going to get to what we know, okay? And, of course, this is not a Mama 7 show. This is A Wonderful Approach. And so that means everyone's contribution is welcomed and encouraged and respected and actually anticipated, too. I want to hear a little bit. I want to know the things that you know for sure and what that means to you. Where does that take you? Where does that carry you? So I'm going to open the phone lines right away. I'm going to just tell you, press 1. That lets us know, hey, I'd like to speak. And from there, we're going to get into those things that we know, those things, that wisdom, that go-to, you know, kind of when you're at that point and you need somebody to say something. I need to say something. You need somebody to confirm. You need somebody to share. That's what you know for sure, you know. I said every day and twice on Sunday. That's what you know for sure. So, you know, all you have to do is press 1. That's going to let me know that you'd like to join. You'd like to share your thing that you know and helps you get along, you know. So I share my thing. The sun shines every morning. You know, there hasn't been a day where I haven't seen that sunrise. And so to me, that lets me know, restart your thinking. And sometimes that sun gets up early, especially on fast days, and I got to hurry up and eat before the sun gets up. But I know that restart is coming. So amen, amen, amen. I'm going to jump right into the phone line. And I'm so excited about this because I got my pen and paper because I'm waiting on my gold nugget. I want to hear those words. I want to understand more. I'm a strange kind of leader. You know, I'm leading, but I'm also learning. You know, I stop, and we're going to have a powwow. We're going to learn how to handle this and how to handle that. So trust and believe those words that are shared here on the line for me and those couple hundred other people that are going to be listening later are valued. Okay. I'm going to jump right in. Greetings. Welcome to the show.
Love and light, family.
Hey, how you doing, Sister Makita?
I am okay. Awesome topic.
Yeah. Awesome.
Amen.
Awesome topic.
So for me, I know that God is. God is the joy and the strength of my life. I know that he's going to remove all pain, misery, and strife because he promised to keep me and to never leave me. And I know he's not going to go back on his word. And with that, I'll get to it.
That much I know
every
that
time.
God is.
And that's
time.
All I wanted to say.
Yeah.
He is.
Amen.
He's been the consistent throughout everything that I've been through.
Mm-hmm. See, in order to do this, you got to go through something. Let me tell you something, family. Being spiritual does not mean you don't go through stuff. It just means you have some tools as you're going through it, you know. And what you know for sure means you have tried it, and it's still there. That's what you know for sure. Yeah, amen on that. Amen on that. Yeah,
I'm looking forward to hearing. Looking forward to hearing everyone else. But for me, I know that God is.
Amen. Amen. Gotcha. Wonderful. Thank you for calling in. Continue to listen.
Yay.
All right. I'm gonna stay on the phone lines. I love it. I absolutely adore it. Greetings. Welcome to the show.
Greetings. One thing I know for certain, greetings.
Brother Ibrahim, how you doing?
I'm good. How about you?
Good, good. Tell us what you know for sure.
One thing I know for sure is that the swelling will go down. So thank you very much.
No explanation on that. Just know that the swelling goes down.
Now you can break it down. Break it on down. The swelling will go down. I know that for certain.
Okay. I will explain.
So,
okay. All right.
Okay. Thank you.
What happens is, thank you. Thank you. Let me explain that just a little bit for those that haven't been bumped in the head quite yet. Okay. What happens is as we are spiritual beings having a human experience, we slip and trip and fall every now and again. We slip and trip and fall right into a brick wall. Okay, it happens. And knowing that the swelling from your head, feeling like it's busted open, it will go down, okay? Everyone, every now and again, if you have to get your little booty pop, or get your butt chewed. the swelling does go down, and that's refreshing to know. Okay, God is merciful, and keeping God's mercy in our eyesight might be important. Just maybe. So we're gonna focus on the wonder, the blessing of God's grace, and that the swelling will go down. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Ibrahim, for calling in. That's awesome. All right, let's see. I love this. I love this. The phone lines are lit. Greetings. Welcome to the show.
Greetings. How are you?
Oh, dear Sister Faith. How you doing?
Mm-hmm. I'm well. The one thing I know for sure is that if I pray, things will change.
Amen.
My prayer changes things. I had to learn to trust my prayers. And as you trust, we learn to trust God, we learn to trust, but you have to learn to trust the words that you're speaking is received on the other end. And so I know one thing for sure, I cannot go without my prayer.
Okay, so I'm sitting here, I'm writing so fast that, my shorthand is getting crazy.
Mm-hmm.
prayer changes things.
Yes, I heard that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Learning to trust God. That is not
mm-hmm.
the same as believing in God. That's not the same as knowing God. That's not the same as obedience to God. Learning to trust God. Trust is a voluntary thing, you know.
Oh,
you
yeah.
trust something, you know, you're willingly giving that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And to trust God, that can be a feat within itself, especially if you've had situations come up and that you didn't understand, and you didn't understand mm-hmm. God's role in that, and you didn't understand your role in that.
Mm-hmm.
And so learning to trust God is a feat. And then
mm-hmm.
learning to trust your prayers, your words, is we'll spend a lifetime doing that. We'll spend
mm-hmm.
a lifetime learning to control our thoughts. We'll spend a lifetime learning that God accepts our words however we speak them. Now, it would be nice to have perfect enunciation and all the thys and those and thous, and that's wonderful, great. But truly, truly trusting that the words that you speak to God are going to be
mm-hmm.
received is a big thing. It's a big thing.
Yes, mm-hmm.
And once you know that God listens, once you know that his messengers will carry your story, your challenge, whatever. Once you know that, that's what you know for sure. You know what I'm saying? And you won't ever doubt it again. You know, once you
yes.
get that, you will never doubt it.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you,
mm-hmm.
Sister Faye,
mm-hmm.
when did you know that, though?
I knew a long time ago the power of my prayer.
Mm-hmm.
I knew more recently that my words make a difference in a prayer.
Okay. Okay.
Because there's a difference of praying from power and praying from your heart. And
of
you
course.
Would say they're one and the same, but they're not.
They're not.
You can
mm-mm.
you can pray in power. You know, we all have the power of the vibration of you know, our voice. When you let God into your heart, it's a different conversation. And so
mm-hmm.
very recently I learned that my words are heard.
Amen.
Even the littlest words, even the smallest prayers. They're heard. And so I think that it changed everything that had to do with my prayer life.
Okay.
It changed it all. So I know for sure that my prayers are necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing. Keep listening and keep sharing that information, okay? Because
mm-hmm.
when I ask, I do tons of reading. And, you know, one of the questions that always comes up is, what is your prayer life like? And I find when people, I've been so busy, this, that, and the other. You know, it's probably been about 2 months. You know, it's almost like prayer is the first thing to fall off. And then we start to see the cycle of things coming up, cycle of this problem
mm-hmm.
and that problem. And then we start to look around like, wait a minute, there's something going on, you know? So, yeah, that prayer is so important.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much for sharing.
Thanks for having
awesome.
Me.
Look, dinner theater soon, okay? Just soon. Hold on there. I got to tease all my fasters. Look, we have to laugh to stop from crying because some long days. We're going to be good going into 9 o'clock talking about breaking fast. You know, one thing I want to share, and this is kind of piggybacking off of what Sister Faith shared with us, and I said this before, is that God loves macaroni art. Now, you have to know what macaroni art is to know what it, you know, to know that God loves it. Macaroni art is something that they do with little kids, and this is when they take hard macaroni and they probably paint it, dip it in glitter, whatever, and they string some string around it, and they call it a necklace, okay? And if you've ever received one of these from some beautiful doe-eyed child that looks like you, or it doesn't look like you, if you've ever received one of these, you hold it up like it is, you know, the most priceless diamond encrusted gold. You know, it is just the most precious thing in the world, and they're looking at you, and their hands are probably dirty, you know, and they're just so proud of this big macaroni, okay? And I imagine that's what God must look at us as. You know, we're offering him things that already belong to him. You know, you're making an offering to me of what is mine. Okay, you know, that's adorable. A lot of times, you know, we're not up on our tithing. We're not up on our community service. We're not up on our monthly obligation. And so, or we don't think it's important, or we think sometimes that we're so small that this little bit's not going to be missed because it's already so small, you know. I'm small. It's small, you know. So a lot of times we kind of downplay who we are and who we are to God, and we can't do that. God thinks that we are precious. God put us on a pedestal. You know, God has spent personal time with us as humans. No matter what story of the beginning that you understand, that you relate to, God took it upon himself to personally breathe his breath into us. Okay? So when you look at something so precious and they're giving you this sloppy thing, because I've gotten one. They're never dry. You know, you touch them, you get paint all over you. They're always a little crazy looking, and I swear it's the most precious thing that you'll ever still have handprint. My oldest boy is looking at getting out of college, you know. Talib is now towering over me, and I still have little turkey handprints from them from pre-K because it was precious, you know. So what I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, that God is pleased when we make offerings. It has nothing to do about how great it is, how fabulous it is. It has to do with the intention of pleasing, the intention of offering, of giving, of opening your heart up. And that God loves that. So if you've ever been around me during ritual and we're getting this together, I'm serious. That thing is blinged out. It's going to look good. It's going to smell good. It's going to – all of this because I don't know. I don't know how long I got here on this earth, right? So this might be my last offering. I want that thing to be art. I want it to be beautiful. I want the ants to love it. I want everything. I want it to be a total experience because I know that God loves it. So when you know things that please God, that's what we need to do. When you know things that don't please God, that's what we try not to do, okay? Because we don't want the booty pop and then the head swell. So what I know for sure is that God loves macaroni art. So don't hesitate to make your offering, no matter how small you may think it is, to God, and to do it with an open and earnest part in knowing that all of that is going to be received. All that's part of the offering. The offering just isn't what the material you see there. It's all of it. It's the intention. It's the heart. It's everything. So that's another one for me, okay? Along with, you know, faith, understanding, you know, trusting in God. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Well, the phone lines, I want to see all the phone lines because I want to know what people know for sure. What do you know for sure? So sticking with the phone lines, I have a caller. Greetings. Welcome to the program. Greetings. I can't hear you. You might still be on mute. There you go.
Hi. It's Nicole. How are you?
Greetings. We are well. How are you?
I am doing great. This is a really great topic. When I read it, I was like, huh. Yeah, there's a lot of things I know for sure now. this journey is very interesting. It changed. Oh, definitely. It changed within a blink of an eye for me. For me,
yes.
I know for sure what I thought this year was going to look like. It is absolutely not. I'm like, wow, okay. But I will definitely say I wouldn't change it for the world.
Okay.
Honestly, even through all of the corona and all of the racial tension, the despair, the, you know, everything that's going around, I found my own place in this.
Yes.
And
yes.
I feel so, the knowing the comfort and the support that I have from my spiritual family, my earthly family, when you feel the warmth around you, that
yes.
cannot be denied. So for me, every new day, like you said, like I wake up with a smile because I'm like, okay, what are we going to do today?
Yes.
And I'm thankful for the opportunity to be able to do something different than I did before. What I also know is that letting go of things and people that don't serve me has been the greatest gift this year
Amen.
Than I have ever known. When we think about, we feel that we have an obligation because of, you know, your family or your friends, or we're supposed to keep them in your camp. No, you're
right.
not, because if you don't feel like they actually are low-hanging fruit. So when
right.
you cut them, and then you see the immediate change that God provides for you in your life, of for the resources, the people, the love, the support that immediately comes in, nothing like it. Nothing like
That's
it.
Right.
So
That's right.
I implore people to take inventory and see what you need to get rid of. Inanimate objects, breathing objects, whatever it is, if it's not serving you, get it out. Get it out. You will be much more on your path than you think.
Amen.
Faster, actually. So those are the things that I know, and that we always have options. We always feel like when we're
yeah.
you know, in our a bad way, we don't feel like we have options. Like right now, there's a lot of people that don't feel like they have options. I am here to tell you there are options and there are answers. Sometimes we have to sit still and we have to pray. We might need to ask for help. But there are always options. So
yes.
thank you for allowing me to share. Thank you for your guidance and your leadership. And you sound super vibrant today, and it's very comforting. So thank
Amen.
You.
Amen. Thank you for calling in. I knew you had those words of wisdom. I think that's everybody knows that for sure. 2020 has been an unbelievable bear, okay?
Yeah.
So
exactly.
Yeah, we've all had to learn some things. And that is like perfect segue into my next thing. And whew, I tell you, it'd be a struggle sometimes. But what I know for sure is that I am way stronger than I thought. There has been some things about 2020 that I did not know exactly how I was going to handle. And I think God does this on purpose so that we don't get too comfortable, you know. Don't get comfortable in this job. We're taking all jobs off the market. Don't get comfortable in this relationship. Don't get comfortable in thinking that your kids stay at home and listen to you and everything else like that. Don't get comfortable in all of those understandings. We have had to, I'm going to make it personal, I have had to rely on God in ways I never thought that I would, never thought I could, you know, all of that. So hindsight, I understand now. When I look back and see what I just got finished walking through, the sandstorms, the quicksand, the water waist deep, you know, all of these things that, you know, prior to, I can't do that. Now it's a question of how do I do that? You know, now it's a question of, hold on, let me call my warriors and find out if they know anything about this hiccup in the road because I'm getting through this, you know, and I'm so happy to have the support that I have. I got phone numbers. I don't even care how long it's been since I've spoken to you. Hey, feel like I can call and get help and get assistance. And I do. I get so much love. And so the fact that I can share that, I am super excited about it. But, yeah, 2020, what I know for sure is that I am way stronger than I thought I was. I can look at a wonderful approach, and I'll extend it out. A wonderful approach, family, is way stronger than I think they thought they were. You know, as we double and triple in size, as more and more people come, as new roles are learned and everything else like that, I got an awesome team, and they do it all for the love of God. Oh yeah, that's strong. Even places and spaces that might have, there's a style of fixing things. It's a Japanese style where they take like a pot that has a crack in it or whatever. They take gold and fill that pot and reinforce it. And so the cracks actually become part of the design. And so whenever I see that, I'm like, wow, you know, the beauty of making a flaw or a crack now beautiful in a design, that's what I feel like. So I'm not even afraid of getting cracked. I'm not afraid of having a little spill or anything else like that, because I know even in the fixing of it, it's a beautification process. It's a strengthening process. The gold is stronger than the original material. So every time there's a chip, I'm strengthened in that. So I'm not afraid to get chips. I'm not afraid of going through a battle. I'm not afraid of this because I know that my strengthening comes after that. And when you take that fear out, when you're no longer afraid of getting bumped, when you're no longer afraid of 2020, you're like, bring it. Locust, what you got? Let me not bring up the locust. I've been teasing the locust lately. I don't need them showing up at my door, okay? I got enough challenges in South Georgia. I don't need locusts added to it. But I really want people to understand that even the trials and tribulations that we go through, they are opportunities for God to strengthen that wall. Is opportunities for God to fortify you in those places. And it's so important to be where you are fed, where you are loved on, where you are family, where we are growing. Don't get caught out in that world like that. Stay where we are reinforcing each other. There's strength in numbers. And so this is what we're working on. So my, what I know for sure is that I'm stronger than I thought. That's 100. And what I know about a wonderful approach, we are stronger together as we're building and we're growing and we're developing. We are stronger together. It ain't been no box of chocolates, okay? This has been real, you know. We've had the trials. We've had the tribulations. We're still in the middle of them. But we know that we'll be fine because we know for sure that God is in the mix. God has allowed us to call on him when we have problems. God keeps us regular in our prayer, in our prayerful state, keeping our mental strong. And so with all of that, oh, my goodness, we can't help but to win. And so I just want to let everybody know, hey, you're on the right team. You're doing the right motions. Which you know is going to carry you. So don't worry about the bumps and the bruises. They're part of it, you know. I tell people, just because you got to take a test doesn't mean you're being punished. Actually, it's giving you an opportunity to elevate from where you were to where you will be. So don't run from that test. Don't run from the challenge because we're here, you know. So if you'd like to share what you know for sure, all you have to do is press 1. That lets us know, hey, we are on target. You know, we all know the same thing. We're all on the same page. And I remember when I was putting the show together, I was like, okay, we have got to move from book knowledge to wisdom, okay? We've got to move into, I tell people to swallow, you know, don't hold that right there in your throat, you know, go ahead and swallow that, you know. We have got to really begin to absorb the lesson. It's not enough to drop the names. Or like my folk do, they quote this scripture and that. It's not enough just to quote it. You got to live it. Not enough just to be aware of this word and that word. You got to absorb it. It has to be a part of you. Truly. When it's a part of you, then that's what you know for sure. And one thing I love, I'm so glad Sister Nicole said it, it changes. So don't be surprised, because they used to think the earth was flat. Now we sit back now in 2020 and be like, flat earth? You got to be joking. What else were they going to do? You know, they look into the horizon, then they don't see the boat no more. It fell off. So it's flat. You can't see a curve from standing right there. And that's what they knew. And then it took someone coming back around that curve to say, hey, it's not flat. And then we knew something different, okay? Don't be afraid to learn and to actually change your own mind, okay? Don't be afraid of expanding your own knowledge base. You don't have to hold on to that old thinking, afraid to betray this or betray that, or pastor might say, or, you know. You don't have to hold on to outdated information. We can change this narrative right now, right here. So allow yourself to be open enough to where when new information comes forward, you can say, okay, hey, I got some new information. I'm ready. There's something else I'd like to know. And that's where we get our studies from. So it's like we have to make sure that we're not holding on too tight to the old. We have to leave enough space for the new to come in so we can truly begin to understand what God has for us. I think if we were 21 and we had our whole life history right in front of us, we would run. I know I would have ran. That's a lot of work. That's a lot of work. There's some days now, even now, where I have to hold myself steady and be like, okay, we got this. So at 21, oh, no, there's no way. So understanding your story is evolving. your story is still developing. You're still living your story. And so we have to get to the point where we can get open with that whole concept of still learning, okay? And what you will know for sure. And as that builds, okay, I'm saying the word build, I'm hearing myself say it, and I'm like, okay, someone is stuck, okay? That's what this means when you keep saying this word like this. Don't be stuck on yourself. Don't be stuck in, well, I thought, well, you know, my parents, well, you know, I don't know. Even not knowing is an openness for us to build on, okay? So don't get stuck. Oh, this always happens. Please, family, don't let me hear you say that. Oh, this always happens, you know, especially in a negative way. The only thing I want to hear always happening is blessings. That's all I want to hear repeated over and over, okay? We have to understand the power of our own words. We have to understand the power of our own words and how everything builds from there, okay? So we can't get stuck. We can't allow ourselves to be limited because that's what it means. Being stuck, being limited, that doesn't get us anywhere. So what I know for sure is that we are allowed to change. And that change might be the scariest thing that you do, you know, but we have to be okay with change. What I know for sure is that change is coming, okay? Whether it's by the seasons, whether it is just our own development, change is always coming, all right? Expect it. If the only thing that changes is the weather. Only, you know, so we have to continue our growth in our development. And allow change to be something that we open ourselves up to, okay? You can try to fight it if you want to. I have a couple of books, but one of the books is caterpillars that changing into a butterfly end up wasting time and energy, meaning that change was coming, period. You were going to change into this new part of you. Now, whether you resisted it futilely, resistance is futile, you know, whether you tried to fight it, whether you tried to limit your own self, some of this change is inevitable. How about this? You can flunk every grade in high school. By the time you reach, I think, the age of 22, they will not let you go to high school anymore. They say you've outgrown the experience. Even if there's still more learning you can do, they won't let you continue. I think that's a good thing. You know, I don't let people continue. I don't let people stay in my baby room. I let everybody, you know, you're in the baby room in the beginning. You get some nice naps. You get your back rubbed. You get all that loving experience as a child. And then after that, you grow. You build. You get out. You recognize, I don't belong here anymore. You know, and that's what a lot of people do. Spirituality has become a little, forgive me, trendy. And this is why, you know, it's so important that we come forward and really establish good understanding and, you know, some basic parameters as to what spirituality actually is. And so knowing that we are the ones, we're the leaders, we are the ones that people are looking at and looking for, we have to go and say, okay, these are good parameters for spirituality. This is who we need to be. This is, you know, we're not contradicting. We're not hypocrites. We're not any of those other things. We're really trying to put some positive energy forward and create our body of knowledge, our body of energy, our body of do's and not to do's. You know, there are a lot of things we have to work on as spiritual people. And so we, being the leaders, we're the ones that have to set those parameters. When I work with people, Trust me, I'm taking inventory. I'm like, okay, this is hard. This is hard for young people. How can I make this less hard? Okay, this is hard for women. How do I make this more accessible? How do I make it more easier to handle? You know, so we're constantly building off of the knowledge base that we had. One thing that I know for sure that I wanted to add about this spiritual lifestyle, there's two things I know, spiritual lifestyle and ancestors. Spiritual lifestyle, be upset if you have to change some of your outdated thinking. I don't know how you're going to be spiritual and you don't have control over your loins. Sorry, I said it. I don't know how you're going to be spiritual and you're still fighting with that mouth. We have got to get a good understanding as to what we're here to do and how we're going to do it, and then those things are going to help us move forward. So what I know for sure is that spirituality requires development. We have to develop as individuals. Pushing. We have to try to be the best that we are. And so this is part of what I know for sure is that if we're making that beautiful macaroni art for God, if we're doing this beautiful work for God, wouldn't we want to do it with clean hands? You know, don't we want to do it with a clean mouth? You know, don't we want to praise God, you know, and know that our praise is being heard? Don't think that God turns off his ears the second you stop praying. The second you say amen, God does not turn off his ears. Those messengers don't stop listening the second you say amen. So that tape recording, we still recording. The mic is still hot. We're still, you know, learning information. And so we can't get too comfortable in where we are if that's not that you would be proud to have God in. So we have to make sure that we're doing what we can with that. The other thing that I know for sure, I got it, like I get it, is that ancestors are real. Everyone has ancestors. You know, there are times where I work with other understandings, other spiritual understandings. And even when we disagree, we can agree on ancestors. Even when we have different types of practices, you know, I may light my candles at night, they may light them in the morning. You know, some people pour libation, some people, you know, pray and pound the earth. And, you know, there's all different ways and times and places and spaces when we are making our prayers, okay? But one thing I know for sure is that everyone has ancestors. I loved, I hope I don't digress here, but Mulan, understanding this Asian culture and understanding it from Disney's perspective, but they did an awesome job showing how they interact with their ancestors on a daily, hourly basis, all their decisions of life, which was only about 5 or 6 years ago. Another great example of how the Mexican culture interacts with their ancestors on a regular basis, dealing with all of their big decisions. And so Moana, I'm sure. There's so many examples of where, honestly, they're teaching our children about ancestors. So we have to be, if we're the leaders, we have to make sure that we are understanding what they're teaching our children about ancestors. All through The Princess and the Frog, you know, I mean, Disney does it, you know, and when they do it, I don't think we pay enough attention to it. All through that movie, ancestors were there. And so what I know for sure, everyone has ancestors, and everyone has a way of interacting with their ancestors. If you've ever walked into a home and there's this big oil painting of grandmama, and she did, and then they go over to the painting and explain, oh, she did this and she did that and blah, blah, blah. I'm sitting here like, man, this is Ancestor 101 right here. And they'll go, no, no, no. I'm like, yeah, I think so. If you've ever been in some of the older homes, up on the piano, the little mantle on the piano that no one plays, you see all the obituaries and, you know, that's ancestors. So no matter what you call it, no matter how you do it, we all have ancestors and we all pay respect to our ancestors in one way or another. Naming your children after ancestors. This is so-and-so junior or senior or, you know, whatever. That is going to be forcing that child to carry that name and to learn about that ancestor, learn about that person. And then when they become an ancestor, they'll have that information. So we are constantly, constantly, constantly surrounded by ancestral information. And so what I know for sure is that ancestors are real. They are in everything that we do, everything that we think about, and they're always trying to guide us in their special way. You know, and the more you know about ancestors, the more you'll know how to be aware of that. So, ancestors, what I know. And so, as we go through, I hope people are jotting down the things that we know, okay? Because what I'm hearing is this recurring theme. I'm hearing about God's love. I'm hearing that we can trust God. I'm hearing that even in the middle of surprises, and this year has been full of surprises, even in the middle of surprises, we can still trust that he's going to care for us. I've heard how strong we can be when we trust in God and how knowing that, and then one of my favorites, the swelling will go down. I had written down in my notes, my pre-notes, it gets better. Okay? One thing I know for sure, and I want to share this because somebody needs to hear this, what I know for sure is that God will never leave you. That's what I know for sure. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what you haven't done, God's love is always there for us. And so we can take great pride in knowing that he is always there for you. So there are times where this world will get us caught up, okay? It's caught up in one thing or next. There are people that think, you know, well, God can't forgive me because I did this, or God's love isn't available to me because I've done that. And I can tell you, we have all made mistakes. You know, that is part of what God has written into our program is actually part of the way that we learn. So there's not anyone who's never made a mistake, and there's not anyone who doesn't still make mistakes. If we were done with our learning, if there was no more for us to learn, God would call us home. We would not be here. So as everyone that's here, there's still something that you have to learn. There's something you have to acquire. There's something that you have to build on. We're just not done, okay? But I want you to know that God will never leave you. And so take heart in that. Know that, you know, he got you. He will protect you. You know, he can come rescue you, okay? There have been times in my life where I have sat down. And I said, God, you're going to have to come get me. You're going to have to come and get me. I don't know what to do. I have gone past my comfort zone. I have nothing. I have nothing. You have to come and get me. And he did. You know, he sends a messenger. Someone just by chance happened to call with the right answer. You know, all of those situations, those are real. those happen. And I know that God does that because he's done that to me. And it's come at the most critical time. You know, this is when they talk about miracles, you know, miracles, the evidence of things. You know, miracles are when you don't know how that happened, when logic is no more, you know, when we don't have any good answers. That's a miracle. And they always talk about God being in the miracle business. He is. And just because we don't write everything down like we used to, just because we don't have new Bibles that come out, doesn't mean that those stories and those lessons aren't still there, aren't being shared and taught to us, okay? So we are always in the process of learning new things. And so that miracle, you know, I see miracles every day. There's no, it's so hard for me to imagine that with everything going on in the world, that God still stops and takes time to pay attention to me. It's so hard sometimes for me to imagine that, you know, with all of the crises, good or bad, I don't care, with all that's going on, there are still angels surrounding me, watching over me and my children and those that I love. So, and to know, you know, there's a song, His Eye is on the Sparrow, which is one of my favorite songs. And my oldest son used to sing that song like an angel. But His Eye is on the Sparrow. And I love that song. And that song got me through many hard times, especially, you know, especially in college, being away from home, being away from the comfort of family and the protection of your parents. The idea of God paying attention to a little bird, and I was like, well, I should have some brownie points saved up. If he'll watch the bird, you know, he'll watch me. And that helped me really to understand how much care and concern goes into us. And it really helped me to feel that comfort. I mean, literally feel the comfort. And know that, and this is one of the reasons why I love birds, love feathers, you know, because they represent an aspect of divinity to me. So knowing that God cares to that degree, that he's going to make all of these snowflakes different, that he pays attention to that kind of detail, that I know he could pay attention to me, and I know he'll heal my prayers, and I know that forgiveness, Lord have mercy, that forgiveness is there for me as I'm going through my trials and tribulations and just learning through life, okay? So, you know, one of the things I need everybody to know, what I know for sure, God won't leave you. You can't outrun God. That has two meanings. You can't outrun God, all right? I've had people try. I've had quite a few people try. And it's like they have a bungee cord around their waist. So they run, they run, they run, and they get yanked back once they reach that limit. And it's kind of funny to see, you know, for us that are still just standing here reserving our energy. But, you know, they run at the top speed. I'm getting away from God, and I'm getting away from doing his work, and I'm getting away. I don't want to use my gifts. And they run, and then they get yanked right back once they get to a certain point. And so, and every time they come back, we, you know, we set up a space for them. Here you go. Get comfortable. You know, here's some tea. But, you know, really understanding that you can't outrun God, it might save you some energy once you get that understanding in place. And, you know, I say that to everyone, but particularly my young people, you're never too young to have a relationship with God, trust and believe. You know, he has been with you before you were even of this world. So you can't be too young. There's no such thing. So don't think you're too young to have a relationship with God. And don't try to run from something that is inevitable. You can't outrun God. No, sorry. So I really want everyone to take, you know, I hope you have jotted down a couple of these that might relate to you. You know, I have some grown folks that try to run from God, too. And all you're doing is making yourself tired because you're going to get bounced back, you know. And the second that God needs you, you know you're going to answer. You know you're going to do the work. And so I don't understand why the running initially, but, you know, just understand you cannot outrun God. God will pull you back. You will do the work. The time would be better spent preparing doing the work, but that's just me personally. So understanding that should help a couple of people. You're going to have to do the work. Don't run from God. God's going to do it. Understanding, and Spirit's sitting here talking in my ear. Everyone's relationship with God is different, okay? Just like everyone's relationship with heat is different. Some people like to be warm. They sit in sauna. I never, never, I'm not sitting in no sauna, no hot tub, no jacuzzi. I don't like to be hot. I'm already hot. I don't need more heat. And so everyone's relationship with God is different. Some people like, you know, some people's relationship from God will be inherited from their parents. Some people's relationship with God will come, you know, after a couple trials and tribulations. Some people's relationship with God, I know, like mine, was enhanced by having children and having that experience. Everyone has their own experience with God, and we have to allow for that. So I can't, even though I got tons of things, rules, regulations, I got plenty of that. But when it comes down to the relationship with God, that's yours. I don't know how you're going to relate to God. I know, me personally, I was so thankful to have my children, you know, getting pregnant and carrying them safely and then actually spitting it out. Oh, no. I knew that was a miracle. I knew God had just used me. And people are like, girl, that's a kid. And I'm like, I understand what you may think, but you don't know what I've been through, okay? And I knew it was an act of God that watched over me as this kid is trying to kill me, okay? Couldn't tell me nothing else. So my relationship, it completely changed at that point. And my gratitude went sky high. And every day that I woke up and I looked at them and they're healthy. And I mean, I think I counted Solomon's toes, fingers and toes, like for the first, you know, 6 months of his life. And, you know, I don't know if I was expecting them to change, but I was so grateful. You know, every night that he made it, I was like, oh my God, he made it another night. I'm so thankful. And I did that, and that helped me to look around and to see all of the other wonderful things that God had put in my life, you know, because up until that point, it was just work, 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 work. And then there was beauty. And so having that experience really helped me to understand and to know God and know how personal God is with us. And so understanding that everyone's relationship is different. How people see God is different. You know, your understanding of God, you know, back in the day, in the church, they had the testimony, you know. And so they had this little old lady come out there, and she would be on that microphone for, I know it had to be about 4 minutes. But it felt like eternity when you're sitting in the pews trying to, wanting to hurry up and get you the food in the back. You know, I was a kid, you know. And they're sitting up there telling us how good God is. And I'm like, oh, my God. So, but for some people, hearing what they've been through and hearing how God delivered them, that was their exposure to God. And so we have to be patient with everyone's exposure, and we have to be respectful. There are a lot of people that aren't respectful. And I don't ever want to hear wonderful approach not being respectful, okay? No matter where you are now, understand what has happened in the past was necessary to get you to this point right here, okay? So we have to begin to respect the experiences that helped to come together and to bring you here. You know, even the negative experiences, we have to understand they shaped us so that we could get ready to be person in this moment. Every person, everybody has 100 points of light that they're going to light with their light. Okay? Your light, your God energy, your God space is going to touch 100 people in your life. Some a little less, some a little more, but that's what it is. The only challenge is we don't know who or when or how. We don't know. We just know that that's our job. That's what we're going to do. We're going to impact 100 people. And I only pray it wasn't like when I was in kindergarten kicking sand or something, you know, doing something I shouldn't have. You know, I don't know. We don't know when we will come in contact with these points of light. We just know it's our responsibility to have our light shining bright enough so it can light someone else's journey. Because someone lit our journey. They may not even realize it. You may have heard somebody on the radio, the little televangelist on the radio, say something deep to make you go study this, to make you point you there, point you here, and really create a dawning for you. And then from there, you're like, man, who would have thought somebody I just half heard on a radio did all this? But it happens. So I really want everyone to understand we have a responsibility. We have opportunity. We have all of these wonderful things. And this is what I know for sure, that each one of us will go and be either direct or indirect inspiration. Don't think you're always going to know who it is or when it is. You know, it could be just someone looking at you, handling a situation. I know I've had trials and tribulations, and I'd be like, ooh, God, I know you're trying to teach somebody a lesson, but my goodness, this is uncomfortable. God's like, yeah, everybody wants to be a vessel until it gets uncomfortable, right? So there are lessons that I have learned that are not for me. They're for me to show someone else how to endure in the middle of discomfort. They're for me to show someone else how to build themselves, how to maintain their dignity in the middle of a challenge. I had a young sister. Oh, she just was so mad. Oh, Mama Seven, you don't understand. She don't know I have been struggling with this issue for months prior to her, months after her, months. You know, she didn't want to be uncomfortable for a minute. And I had been in, I'm already deep in the trenches. And so I never said anything. I you know, it's not about my pain is greater than yours. It's not about who can endure the longest. This is not a foot race. Understand that. This is a very individual you racing against you, you working with you, you building your relationship with God, okay? I'm just here to kind of cheer you on and maybe tell you that the brick wall is hard and maybe go around it. That's what I'm here to do. So as I'm trying to explain to this young person, look, this is one of those things. You know, let's try to endure. Let's keep that faith about us, okay? Don't let God see that faith slipping, all right? Let's know that God's going to watch out for us, going to protect us, going to make sure that we can handle all of these challenges that we have. And this sweet baby just whined and cried and cried and whined. And it helped me to understand that everyone, you know, feels pain differently. And everyone doesn't have the same strength in their relationship with God yet. And it helped me, you know, at that point, I don't know if you've ever had a crying baby before, but there's a recipe. First, you make sure that they're dry. Then you make sure that they're fed. Then you make sure that they're burped well, okay? And then you lay them down and rub their back. Or not. But after you've gone through some of the basics, after that, you have to kind of let them figure it out and go through those trials and tribulations. That's part of their testimony, you know? And so as everyone has their different relationship with God, you know, our job as the leaders is to share information, encourage, build, possibly even share some things that you've had to do personally. I believe that that experience that you share, that you know, can help someone else find courage to do that. So the experience is very important. But after, there comes a point when that baby just sleeping and just wants to cry and fuss itself to sleep. And so this is what we're going to do. You know, God will even allow you to do that. In our personal relationship, I tell people all the time, God, I think it was Jacob. I always say Jacob. But God let Jacob wrestle with him, you know. And they, different stories. Some say he wrestled with Gabriel. Some say he wrestled with God's big toe. But I'm just saying God allowed that. So don't think that you have to have this perfect relationship with God. God will take you as you come, you know. Job, the devil sat there, as the story goes. I'm not here to argue about the possibilities of this. I don't have no birth certificates of Job. I wasn't there. I'm telling you, I'm sharing this story because the story has a moral to it, okay? So all my theology, story of Job as it went, as it goes, the devil was trying to tempt him and wanted him to denounce God. And Job never denounced God. And that was the story I was told. That's the story I was brought up with. And I remember Job having to really, really, you know, suffer, go through some things. But when the trial, and at first I was like, God, if that's your friend, though, God, if that's your friend, why you got to suffer like that, you know? And so as a child, I always kind of questioned that. And then as an adult, maybe about 5 or 6 years ago, I was told not only did, you know, Job have to suffer, but Job also asked God, you know, about, hey, what about this and what about that? That's not a crime. They said, I was told about that part because I was told it's okay to have questions for God. You know, it's okay to still be working on some God concept. It's okay for us not to be perfect, but what Job didn't do is let go. He never denounced God. So what we have to know, what I know for sure, is that God works it out and not to let go. Just don't let go. Let's work together. Let's build together. We can struggle together. We can cry together too, you know. There's so many things we can do spiritually that is perfectly okay, you know. But we have to stay close to God. We have to use those God tools to get old. Once we're finished with the cry, and for all my men folk, if you got to kick a little bit or pout or whatever you got to go through, then we have tools that are going to help us find spiritual resolutions to these problems. We're going to find prayer that's going to help give us our strong rock in the middle of this journey. We're going to have a support team that's going to say, look, you're going to be all right. Let's get this going. I am great for an impromptu prayer. You got a problem? I promise you, call me. First, we're going to find a silver lining in it. Then we're going to get that prayer line going, okay? And we're going to, because that's what works, because God changes things. And so we're going to keep ourselves strong and not be afraid of those creeps and cracks as they come. And so those are the things we know for sure. So I hope everyone takes a minute out of their day, out of their evening, to think about what you know for sure. What do you know about God? What do you know about ancestors? What do you know about your spiritual journey and your path? Just even if it's three or four things that you know for sure, write them down. Think about where they came from. Are these your thoughts, or are these thoughts that your ancestors have given to you and passed down, and this is just where you are? You know, find out what is fueling your spiritual test journey, all of that. What do you know for sure? Because what you know for sure is actively shaping you. What you know for sure, the thing that you allow in your spirit, that is changing who you were into who you are. And we need to make sure that who you are is truly who you're trying to be, not who you've been formulated to be, not who society got their own opinion, who society says you have to be. We need to know who you are creating, because if you are not creating yourself, I promise you someone else is. And no one should be creating you but you. You can't give that power over to anyone else. You have to understand that when you get whatever story you follow, when you get to the gates, when you reincarnate, when you have your final test, however you want to say it, when you get to that next level, you will be walking in as an individual. So you have to have your own individual thoughts. So take a minute and write down what you know for sure. I'm getting ready for prayer time. I love prayer time. One of my favorite times of the day. This is 4th of July weekend. I say that because I want people to be aware of where they are and who they are as they are doing whatever they're going to do. Okay? Please, let's be safe. I want all of these lit phones. This was a great crowd. It was a full house. I want all of these phone calls to make it to the next show. Okay? So we have to make sure that we're doing our part and we're being safe. Be careful on those highways. Be careful as you're doing anything, because right now this world, the energy is one of consuming. So let us not get consumed in the middle of everyone else, okay? I cannot wait. We got 11 minutes, and then I will be breaking my fast. Yes. Made it through to all of those people that are fasting. Look, I am so proud of you. This ain't no easy task. When we pray together, when we fast together, we share in the blessings together. So, you know, feel accomplished by being able to do this work, because it's not easy. It's not easy at all. So I'm so glad. You know, my prayers on Wednesdays tend to be very, very great and juicy, because I'm this is my grace, okay? This is grace for our dinner theater that's shortly coming. But I just want to thank everyone for taking the time out of their day to share what they know for sure. I thank you for my little nuggets, because I'm going to be expanding on them. And as we start to build classes with a wonderful approach, you know, these are the types of concepts that classes are built on, so that we can begin to say what we know for sure. And if you don't have anything that you know for sure, if your spiritual base you don't know for sure, that's something we're going to work on. Don't worry about it. So prayer moments are so important because for some people, when they disconnect, like I said earlier, from God, prayer is the first thing to go. And we need prayer so much in our life because that prayer is there to remind us of our relationship with God, is there to remind us of God's relationship to us, is there to keep us strong mentally, physically, emotionally. It's a reminder. It is praise. It's obligation. It's an expression of gratitude. It is all those things, all of those things. So I'm going to beg you not to let your prayers slip. Even if your prayers are just coming from your throat, and if you've ever made that prayer, you know what I'm talking about. Even if your prayer is only coming from your throat, it's okay. Keep with it. Prayer is not, for some people, is not natural. They have to start the process. They have to build their prayer muscle, okay? Prayer is a muscle. The more we exercise it, the more we'll have, okay? Allowing me to express myself in my prayer to God and having everybody listen. Father, Mother God, I give thanks for allowing you, for allowing me to come humbly before you with this praise, with our gratitude, with our open hearts, with our ideas and thoughts of what we have, and with more openness in learning what we do not have. God, I ask that everyone remain safe this holiday weekend for some. Allow us to remain physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually connected to you. Allow us not to allow the current environment to dictate our movement. God, allow us to stay focused no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing, no matter whose company that we're in. God, allow us to be the strong, powerful spiritual beings that you have set us out to be, not the zombies, the reactors, what everyone else has created. God, please keep our thoughts pure. Please have our actions worthy of your view, understanding that you see all, you are all, you understand all. When we become confused, please allow a space for us to kneel so that we can come to you with our, in our confusion and share with you so that you can begin to expand our understanding so that we can become clear. Understand, God, that there are many that are hurting at this point. There are many that are frustrated, that are mad. There are many hearts that are in turmoil, God. I know that you have the ability to touch each and every one. I know you have the ability to make the rough edges smooth. I know you have the ability to teach all the lessons that need to be taught. And I just ask that you do so in such a way that your light can be seen, that they know beyond a shadow of a doubt that, God, it is you. Allow them to take that light and allow it to spawn and to grow and then to allow others to see the light within them. Allow this light to continue, Lord. Allow it to be a beacon of light, a lighthouse of light. Allow a wonderful approach to be that beginning spark to the positivity that's necessary to remove this negativity away from us. God, we ask that we remain safe. We ask that all heart in unison say amen to our love, to our safety, to our forgiveness, to our new understandings. Thank you. Amen.